Hey, they didn't just sing. That was singing tonight. Amen. And that was great. And boy, I tell you, just great job. Amen. Well, I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I need y'all to really pray for me. I've been struggling with my voice lately. And really, really having a lot of trouble with it. And going hoarse real fast. And so I don't know. If I go hoarse, I go hoarse. I'll preach and sing. If I get tired or can't do it, then I'll tag team with Brother Clement. Amen. And Brother Clement and I have been known to do that a time or two. In fact, I think we're doing it in September, aren't we? Yeah, we. I think you and I and Randall and Dennis, amen, we're going to take a sermon and we're going to do 1 point apiece and just preach the house down. Amen. Have a good time. And we've done that a couple times and we enjoy it. Amen. But 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13, reading through verse 18. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. These verses aren't new, but I can tell you, my dear friend, listen, they are verses that will give us some encouragement. Amen. And we got Brother Guy, listen, Brother Gary talked there a few moments ago about seeing loved ones on the other side and about that amazing grace and all them things. And so I feel like this is what the Lord will have me preach tonight. But I want you to look at verse number 13 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says, Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We want to just preach for just a few moments on the title of the message, Truth That We Can Count On. Amen. Truth that we can count on. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. God, we just pray that you'd help us tonight to rightly divide the word of truth. God, we just pray that your will would be done here tonight. God, we thank you for the singing that we've already heard. Lord, I'm thankful that good music and good singing, God, will put us right into the atmosphere of worship. And Father, it stirs our heart to want to hear the preaching of the gospel. And so, Lord, when those two things are working hand in hand with one another, God, we know that you're there in the midst and can do some great things. So, God, our hearts are prepared to honor and to worship you. But, God, we pray now that you would take this unworthy vessel. And, God, we pray that you speak directly through me tonight. And, God, I pray, Father, that your word would come forth here this evening. I pray, God, that my opinions and my agenda, God, I pray, Lord, that it would be set aside. I pray, God, that I would not have those things. But, God, I pray that your word would go forth here tonight. So, Lord, we need you. We need your help and we need your touch. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. The poet wrote these words. He says, "'Twas the night before Jesus came and all through the house. Not a creature was praying, no, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of His face made me cover my head. It was Jesus, returning like He had said. And though I possess worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw Him in spite of myself. in the book of life which he had held in his hand was written the names of every saved woman and man. He spoke not a word. He searched for my name when he said, "It's not here." My head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take him to his Father above. With those who were ready, he arose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and my fate was sealed. I stood and cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Amen. May I say to you tonight, listen, this may come as a surprise, but did you know that there is more said about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ than any event in the Word of God? May I say to you tonight, listen, there are some 300 times in the New Testament alone that mentions the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, many times when we look at it and read it, it is in great detail on how He will come back to get His children. But may I say to you tonight, there are three kinds of people when it comes to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ that's living on this earth. First of all, we have the cynic. Second of all, we have the carnal. Third of all, we have the committed. The cynic, my dear friend, when you think about a cynic or someone who is cynical, if you will, it is a person who believes only selfishness motivates human action. And with that being said, I want you to hold your place here, and I want us to go over for just a quick second because I want us to read these verses together, but I want to look at 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And I'd like for us to look at these verses for just a moment, and let's examine for a second the cynic, if you will. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, doubters, mockers, if you will, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." May I say to you, that's the person who is the cynic. Amen. I can tell you, they look around and they say, there's not much change. There's not nothing that's changed. Surely, my dear friend, God is not coming back. But my dear friend, I'm glad of the promises of the Word of God. Amen. May I say to you, not only do we have the cynic, but we have the carnal as well. I want you to listen to this verse. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 28. When it comes to carnality, we are dealing with someone of a worldly lust. We are dealing with someone of lasciviousness, turning things, if you will, into a perversion. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Amen. May I say to you, listen, for those of us that have been saved by God's grace, John encourages you and I to abide in the faith. Amen. He encourages you and I to have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I say to you, there are some that will stand in front of a just and holy God someday that will stand there ashamed. Why? Because they had not given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The carnal motives of this world, they were more concerned with than giving their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the cynic, we have the carnal, but thank God we've got the committed. Amen. Pastor Hawkins last night preached on this great verse that's found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. It says this, "He which testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. May I say to you, for you and I that have been saved by God's grace, how about you tonight? Are you looking for Him to come back? Amen. Did you know, listen, this may be the last service that we ever gather together in here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It could be tonight that our Savior comes back here for you and I, that we will spend an eternity for the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, what a great night it would be for God to come back. Amen. But may I say to you, as we understand the Apostle Paul, he deals with some questions here. In fact, I can tell you the questions that prompted the Apostle Paul to write this passage tells you and I and shows you and I how does the rapture relate to the death of a saint and the issue of the resurrection. And there are two questions that he deals with here specifically in the text. The first question is this. Are our loved ones who have died going to miss out on the rapture? That's the first question that he deals with. The second question that he deals with is there hope for believers beyond the grave? Now, I can tell you, since Paul did not want the believers to continue in sorrow, he didn't want them to be ignorant. He wanted them to completely understand the answer to these two particular questions. And there may be some of you that are here tonight that maybe you're going through this question in your mind. You're wondering whether or not you'll see Mama again. You're wondering whether or not you'll see Daddy again. You're wondering, my dear friend, whether or not you'll see husband or wife or child or grandchild again. Well, may I say to you, the Word of God gives you and I a tremendous encouragement and a tremendous insight on the hope that we've got beyond this life. Amen. Now, may I say to you tonight, this truth is centered on three things, and you may want to jot them down. First of all, we understand here tonight that the rapture is centered on Christ's accomplishments. Amen. The rapture is centered on Christ's accomplishments. Notice, if you will, in verse 13 and 14 of our text. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Amen. Dr. Tom Hayes is a very respected man of God. Many of us preachers know Brother Tom Hayes. Brother Hawkins, last night they sang the song Grace, Grace, Marvelous Grace, a great song that Dr. Hayes wrote. But Brother Hayes also wrote a commentary on 1 Thessalonians, and there was a little sentence that he said in his book that I read a few weeks ago that was an absolute blessing to me. He said this. He said, "The accomplished work of Christ is a pillow on which redeemed souls can rest." Amen. Let me read that one more time, and maybe that'll get in some of your hearts. Amen. The accomplished work of Christ is a pillow on which redeemed souls can rest. No wonder we can come to the house of God and we can stand up and say, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Now may I say to you tonight, Paul did not want the believers to be misinformed concerning the believer's death. Notice, if you will, in verse number 13 again. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Concerning them which are asleep. May I say to you, he uses the word asleep in the text. May I say to you tonight, listen, sleep is a way of picturing, if you will, the death of a believer. In fact, through the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ used it to describe a young girl who had gone on. Amen. And I want us to hold our place. Let's go look at this verse. Mark chapter number 5, real quick. Mark chapter number 5. And let's begin reading in verse number 35 together. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 35. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. The Word of God says in Mark 5:35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogues, how certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Why in the world are you bugging the Lord? Because your loved one is already dead and already gone. Let's keep reading. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, but only believe. And He suffered no man to follow Him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogues, and saith the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Verse 39. And when He was come in, He saith unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. But they laughed Him to scorn. They said, what in the world are you talking about? Listen, the last time I saw something that was dead, I've never seen anything that was dead. Trying to compare it to somebody who is just asleep. I mean, think about it. Something that is dead, it is absolutely impossible for it to be resurrected unless a miracle takes place. Amen? The Bible says that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And may I say to you, listen, that's why salvation is a miracle. Amen? Because we were dead. Our nature was to hate God. Our nature was to war with God. You see, the nature of a dog, it can't change. The nature of a cat cannot change. The nature of a tree cannot change. It's always going to be a dog. It's always going to be a cat. It's always going to be a tree. The nature that we were born with was we were sinners. We hated God. We wanted nothing to do with God. But what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ came in and saved us and set us free and gave us a new nature. He woke us up. Amen. He made us alive through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, but I had to chase that rabbit and gun him down. Amen. Verse 40, look at it. And they laughed Him to scorn, but when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with Him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. Verse 41. And He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished. But not only were they astonished, look at the rest of it. With a great astonishment. The word astonished there simply means to be taken back, besides oneself. Absolutely shocked at what they saw. But not only, my dear friend, were they astonished, but it was with a great astonishment. I looked up that word today and got to reading a little bit on it, and I found out that it simply means this, that the use of your external senses are gone. God can only do that when something, my dear friend, is revealed to us in an unusual manner. In other words, when we see something that we just cannot believe. And what happened with them, my friend, was listen, their external senses, listen, it got to, they ran it through their mind. How in the world can all of this happen? They gathered all the information that they ever knew in their entire life, trying to figure it out. And when they got to it, my dear friend, they hit a brick wall. And when they hit the brick wall, they knew that something was on the other side of the wall, but they could not figure it out. It was impossible for them to understand it. May I say to you here tonight, hallelujah, my dear friend. I'm glad that God has raised me. Hallelujah. I'm glad He saved me. Hallelujah. I'm glad, my dear friend, that God came in and helped me one night when I was lost without God. Hallelujah here tonight. Listen, I can tell you, He got not only with this little girl, but again, He used it to describe the death of Lazarus. John 11:11, these things said He, and after that He saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I might awake him out of his sleep. Luke describes Stephen as falling asleep. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. But when he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. May I say to you, when it comes to the death of a Christian, thank God they're just taking a nap. Amen. They're just sleeping. I was thinking about this the other day. I walked in the room the other day. I looked at Sarah. I said, what are you doing, babe? She says, I'm just chilling. I said, you're just chilling. Amen. And I thought about it. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody who was over probably 60 years old say, I'm just chilling. I'm just chilling. But what I have heard older folks say, I'm relaxing. I'm relaxing. I don't normally hear the teenagers say that I'm relaxing. Well, these teenagers, they've come up with a new word. And it's called chillaxing. Amen. And chillaxing. So the other day, I walked in there to Emily's room. She said, I said, what you doing? She says, I'm just chillaxing, Dad. I'm just chillaxing. She's just relaxing, chilling out, taking it easy. Well, you know what, my friend, I can tell you. Those that have gone on to be with the Lord, I understand, my dear friend, when we look at them, we think that the grave is final. We think that it is cold. We think that there's no hope. But may I say to you, for you and I that have been saved by God's grace, the person who has gone on to be with the Lord, they're just chillaxing, amen. They're just taking it easy. They're resting, my dear friend, in the arms of the Lord. So see, Paul did not want the believers to be misinformed concerning the believer's death. But I also want you to notice, he did not want them to be miserable concerning the believer's death as well. Not only misinformed, but also miserable. You see, I want you to read, my dear friend, the rest of verse number 13. Look at it if you will. I got to get back over here to it. Amen. I just lost my place. All right, I thought somebody stole 1 Thessalonians out of my Bible. All right, here we go. The second part of verse 13 says, they are asleep, then it says, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Did you read that? Let's read that together. Here we go. Read it again. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. May I say to you, listen, as I read the verse, listen. The verse did not say, he did not tell you and I that we could not sorrow. Amen. What he did tell us, though, is he says that we do not need to sorrow as others which have no hope. Amen. I was thinking about this afternoon. And I remember on March the 20th, 1975, my Grandma Sampson went home to be with the Lord, my dad's mother. And I'll never forget the preacher had preached the funeral service. We walked by for the last time. I was 8 years old, but I have it in my mind. I'll never forget it. My father, of course, loves the Lord, saved by God's grace, is a Christian on his way to heaven. Amen. By his testimony. But my Uncle Stan does not know the Lord. He's lost without God and needs Jesus. I remember when my dad walked by my mother or my grandmother, and as he walked by her, he just kind of buried his head right there in her chest there. And he began to cry and he began to weep. And he said, Mama, he said, I promise you, I'll see you again. And I can tell you, he was sorrowing. We were all crying because Granny was gone from this body. But may I say to you, Dad showed me something that day. He realized and understood that there was a promise. Amen. Uncle Stan came by though. Uncle Stan came by and tried grabbing Grandma right out of the coffin and was holding on to her because, my dear friend, the difference in the hope that he had as my Uncle Stan had. Amen. May I say to you, listen, I know it's a sorrowful time when we lose someone that is dear to us, but may I say to you, listen, my friend, listen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I can tell you here, Dad got a hope. We've got a hope that Jesus is coming back to get those that belong to Him. Hallelujah. May I say to you tonight, Philippians, listen, to grieve without hope is to forget that there is no tomorrow. Hallelujah. Well, may I say to you, listen, I understand that according to tomorrow, may I say to you, if the Lord comes back, whether we go through the grave or whether He comes back and gets us, hallelujah, we don't have to grieve. Amen. For you and I that love God. Philippians 3:21 says, Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Job 19:26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah. May I say to you, listen, Paul did not want the believers to be misinformed concerning the believer's death or miserable concerning the believer's death. But he wanted them to be mature concerning the believer's death. I want you to notice verse 14. For if we believe, if our mind has been changed, and our heart has been changed, we believe in what? That Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Now, he says, what do we believe in? He says, first of all, he says, we believe that Jesus died. Second of all, that He rose again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul said that I am declaring something unto you. That word declare there means to reveal or to pull back the cover. Now, what cover was he pulling back? What was he declaring? What was he revealing? The Word of God says, it is the gospel, Paul said, that I have preached unto you. Now, what is the gospel? We know that the gospel being defined is simply good news. What is the good news? The good news that Paul was declaring, that we stood upon, that we have been saved by, that we received, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And may I say to you, Galatians chapter number 1 and verse 1, the Bible says that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. But according to John chapter number 2, the Bible says that Jesus raised Himself from the dead. But according to Romans chapter number 8, the Holy Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. I can tell you here that, listen, ever since the beginning, the plan was there. The plan was made. God the Father was in on it. God the Son was in on it. And God the Holy Ghost was there in on it. 1 John 5:7 says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Make no mistake about it. The infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God teaches you and I that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit knew about this resurrection thing. Hallelujah. And He said, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant. Those that have gone on to be with the Lord, those that are sleeping in Christ, the Bible says God will bring with them. Second of all, tonight, may I say to you, the rapture not only is centered on these three things, but also the rapture is centered on Christ's authority as well. Notice, if you will, verse number 15. Verse number 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. That's very important for us to get that. You see, the Apostle Paul wasn't just kind of just throwing out some things to you and I, his opinion and what he wanted to say, like so many false religions of the world today are saying that this one said this, Muhammad has said that, Charles Taze Russell has said this, with all these things. Though Paul said, hey, stop, back up, let me tell you, I'm not coming to you on my own merit, but I'm coming to you from the Word of the Lord. Amen. And may I say to you, listen, in order for you and I to stop false doctrine, in order for you and I to go ahead and to stop somebody's mouth, we ought to go ahead and say, hey, what does the Bible have to say about the subject? Amen. And Paul said, listen, I am coming to you from the Word of the Lord. Amen. That's very important. Now listen, Christ will come with authority. You see, verse number 16 tells you and I, and verse 15 talks about the Word of the Lord. But you see, it draws my attention to the great I will statements of God. You know, God's made a lot of I will statements in the Word of God. Some of them that He said was in Matthew 11:28. He said, I will give you rest. Matthew 4:19, I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. John 14:3, I will come again. Amen. May I say to you, He will come with authority. I want you to notice, if you will, in verses 15 and 16, verse 17 as well, you may want to circle them. I want to draw your attention to the word Lord that is found in these three verses. Five times you will see the word Lord. You'll see the word Lord twice in verse 15. You'll see the word Lord in verse 16 one time. And then you'll see the word Lord twice in verse number 17. The word Lord simply means master, owner, or possessor. Amen? Now, let's read that with that in mind. The Bible says, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord," or by the word of the master, owner, or possessor. Go on and keep reading. "That we which are alive and remain under the coming of the master, owner, possessor, or Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the master, owner, possessor, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Master, Owner, hallelujah, Possessor, the Lord in the air." Here we go. "And so shall we ever be with," say it with me, "the Master, the Owner, the Possessor, the Lord." Amen. May I say to you, listen, He is coming with great authority. May I say to you, Christ will call with authority. The text tells you and I, listen, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Amen. With a shout. The word shout, just simply by definition, is a command. There was a fellow by the name of Leon Morris. This is what he stated. He said, "The shout is a word of command and is used of the shout of the soldier to his horses or the hunter to his hounds. It is the cry to the rowers uttered by the ship's master or to the soldiers by their commander. Always there is the ring of authority and the note of urgency." Think about it for just a second, what he said. Think about the soldier on his horses. What does he do? I was thinking about this today. What's he say? He says, "Hiya!" Right? That's a command. Amen? He's letting them know, take off, get going. Amen. I thought about these individuals. I thought about the hunter and his hounds. I had to call Travis Sharp today and ask him, "What do you say to your dogs when you need them to go get something?" He said, "I just say, sick them." Amen. And boy, that's a command, if you will. I thought about this. I thought about the guys who were rowing in the ship and the man who would say, "Row, row, row." I thought about the last individual, the soldier, by their commander who would say, "Charge!" There's always a word, my friend, that leads to a command. The Bible says to you and I that the Lord is coming back with a shout. You say, what will the Lord say to the church of the living God? Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither." Amen. May I say to you, hey, the Lord is coming back with a shout. Hallelujah tonight. Excuse me. Christ will command with authority. Christ will command with authority. Matthew 28 and verse 28 says, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." That word power is the Greek word exousia. It has, it carries the meaning, if you will, that the Lord has the right to exercise all power and all authority here on this earth. He says He's coming back with the trump of God. In Numbers chapter number 10, God gave divine instructions involving the blowing of a trumpet. In fact, He gave them basically three reasons. Number one, He said to assemble the people. Number two, to prepare for the journey. And number three, to go to war. Amen. Well, may I say to you, the Bible says the trump of God. You see, the rapture is not only for assembling the believers. It's not only to take them on a journey, but also to prepare them for war against the satanic world system and world government. Amen. The Bible says over in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11, listen to how He comes back real quick and we'll be done. Listen. He says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Isn't it great that when we get to heaven, we're still going to be learning things about God? Amen. A name that we'd have no idea what it is. Can't wait to find out what that is. Amen. I think about Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the door. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. "I am He that liveth and was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore." Hey, I don't know what His name will be, but listen, I tell you what a great day that will be. Amen. Verse 13, "And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Did you notice the contrast? The Bible tells you and I that His vesture was dipped in blood, but our vestures are white as snow. Amen. Brother Clement was preaching to us this morning about how the King Jehoshaphat and his army and all of his gang, they just stood back and listened to what the prophet had to say. And the prophet told him, he said, "Hey, you just stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. You're not going to have to fight in this battle." My dear friend, we're coming back with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, the Bible says His is dipped in blood. Ours, my dear friend, are white and spotless. I believe that God is going to take care of business. Amen. Verse 15, "And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen. He's coming back, church. Let me give you this and I'm done. Christ's assurance. The rapture is centered on Christ's assurance. Notice verse 17, if you will. "Then we which are alive and remain shall caught up together with Him in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Oh, I don't know about you, but listen, I'm glad that we can be encouraged by the Word of God during the tragedy of death. I want you to remember what I said in the beginning of the poem, and I'm done. Remember what I said? "I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and it was sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight." In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible, it was true after all. Oh, do you know Jesus tonight? You know why we could shout and praise God? Because there's some of us in here tonight that's ready to go. Amen. But if you don't know Him, oh, would you give your heart to the Lord here this evening? Father, we love You. Thank You for all that You've done. Oh, Lord, I hope I didn't go too long. But, Father, I just thank You, Lord, for letting me preach what You laid on my heart. Bless Brother Gary as he comes. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen.